Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ryan Silverfield is the University of Memphis football coach going into year number three. He joins us now. Coach, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Just another day in Memphis. That's all. You're busy, huh?
Yeah. I'll just say this. It's every offseason is changing in college football and college sports, and this year is no different, obviously. The ever-changing rules, right? We're talking about the NCAA Constitution being changed from recruiting rules to transfer portal. Yeah, it's keeping me on my toes, but I always got time for you guys.
Thank you, brother.
In terms of what you can talk about, because I don't know how much you can talk about, but
yeah, I don't know who the Raiders are going to hire. I mean, we can talk about it for the next couple hours.
It won't matter.
Wasn't the question.
No. It won't even matter anyway. But do you feel like this go around, and maybe you didn't even feel like you necessarily per se lost the transfer portal last year, but do you feel like this go around? So far, you're coming out on top in terms of what you're bringing in versus what, if anything, is going out.
Yeah, I think that's part of this roster management. This can be done two ways. And, you know, I've been pretty blunt in saying this. It's never reported when a player is dismissed from a team, right? I don't come out and say, I've dismissed player X. Well, if I dismiss player X or suspend player X, all he does is clicks a button, he's in the transfer portal. And I don't come out publicly and said, this player is no longer part of our program. It's just, that's the nature of this whole thing. So it's natural attrition that occurs. There's also guys that also want to maybe play it somewhere different or see things at a different place. Maybe grass is greener. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like we've done a nice job bringing guys in. We've got guys that are working out with our team now that have already started and enrolled in school. And, you know, look, we got to be proactive in it, you know. And still, we're not going to just say, hey, we're just going to live in the transfer portal. No, we're still going to recruit high school guys. I still believe in developing young men. And I think we're heading that right path. Try to find that right mix.
That's on that, is it a deal, Coach, where you have a position group and you say, you know what, maybe we address this in the transfer? Is it a deal where you see a name? Because I'm not sure how many of these guys – you know, have signed with you yet, have committed that you can actually talk about by name or not. Is it a deal where you see a special guy and you say, okay, that's a guy I'd like to have in my program? Is it a balance of both in terms of mastering that transfer portal? What have you found?
Yeah, Jason, I think that's exactly right. I mean, look, there's names that go in there, and by the time you reach out to them, they've mm-hmm. already got a $100,000 NIL deal at these schools, and you say, well, never mind.
Yep.
And then you also say, okay, what's the fit and what's the need? You know, we could wake up and you could be without certain players in your roster, and you say, okay, well, now we need to add this piece because we're missing here. Maybe it's a depth piece as well. You know, everybody says, well, if you add to the portal, you might as well, it's got to be a starter. Well, that's not necessarily the case. If I lose a redshirt sophomore guard, well, okay, I can't just necessarily replace it with a freshman or necessarily a senior, right? I still try to find that fine balance of roster management. So it's a combination, right? Here's a name or here's a position, trying to figure out where it fits for our team and what our needs are.
We are, of course, talking to University of Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield here on the show. Obviously, got early signees, you're working the transfer portal, and obviously another part of working the transfer portal is, I think for some guys, trying to keep them from going into it.
Right.
And I think the most notable name that we have to ask you about is Seth Hennigan. Now, he put up one of the best seasons you will see as a freshman in college football, and he tweeted, and I'm trying to sort of see if this meant something, if there's something we can extrapolate from it, #4AI. Does that mean forever all in, and does that mean that he is – as you expect, or do you expect him to be back next season?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Seth and I have had many conversations, obviously. Successful freshman year, right? Proud of him for a freshman All-American. Obviously, the parts around him, all those people that assisted him on the field, those guys, they deserve all the credit. But, yeah, look, I've had the adult conversations with Seth. He's an 18-year-old, and talked to him about, you know, there may be teams that are illegally tampering and reaching out and offering things to him. But, you know, he gets it. He says, look, Coach, we've had success here. I like you here. I'm happy here. I like you. You know, in reality, the conversation was pretty straightforward. Hey, if you're the head coach here, I'm here, which that's what you appreciate, a young man that's committed to the place. And, you know, we kind of used, as you guys well know, through the city, this all-in mantra since I've been the head coach. And for a young man to say, hey, I'm forever all-in, that's pretty cool. And I think a lot of our players truly believe the way we're doing things, the culture we're trying to build in this ever-changing ways of college football. It makes you feel pretty solid and pretty proud.
Coach, that's what do you do? What tools do you have when someone is tampering with your guys? As you just made it pretty clear, what do you do in that situation? Are you calling guys, calling schools, saying get off my guy? Like what all's gone into that for you? How do you fight them off?
Yeah, look, I know a lot of schools have tried to show emails and text messages. Obviously, people go through these 7-on-7 coaches and the brothers, cousins, sisters, uncle, you know, who's babysit so-and-so and says that they're interested. So it's all different ways, but it ultimately is going to come back to the situation we're able to provide for them at Memphis and showing them, hey, this is a great place, a great university, a great program with a bunch of coaches and fans that truly care about them. And I think that's what's so important is our fans got to continue to understand that these guys are 18-year-olds. And, you know, if Seth has a bad game, that doesn't mean, you know, that he's a bad kid, right? I mean, we got to continue to pour and love him. And I think it all comes down to relationships. And that's what I'm constantly building with our current players and spending time with them. And so when there are maybe other opportunities, it goes back to, okay, this may be the best one. And this may be silly for me to say on the radio, but, you know, I've put it in terms of a relationship with a woman. You know, hey, you may be dating somebody and they're pretty and you enjoy everything about them and they're smart and they take care of you. They've been faithful. And it's a good relationship. And maybe someone slightly better looking walks by you. But maybe they got some bats in the closet and some other things going on. And you never really know what you're getting into. And so I said, you know, you got to stick with something that's pretty darn good. And I think a lot of our players relate to that and understand.
No, I'll be honest. If I was you, I would certainly marry Seth Hennigan. There is no doubt about that. Yeah, like I would get on a knee and I would say, "Will you spend the next 3 years or two?" You know, because we're talking enough here. But on that, you know, and you just sort of said it that you had that adult conversation with Seth and that he expressed to you that as long as you're the coach at Memphis, he will be here. How big is that for you just in terms of building your roster, planning it forward? Because there are a lot of programs right now that don't know who their starter is going to be next season. It feels like you have a pretty firm idea that Seth will be back. How exciting is that, and how much does it help you just sort of build around him knowing that he will be back as a sophomore?
Well, I think it's important. I think that's the same with every position, right? I've even had the adult conversation with Grant Gunnell, and Grant and I have had the conversation about, hey, come in here and compete and continue to work, you know, because, look, you can never have enough quarterbacks that are qualified as being starters, you know. And so I've had those conversations with Grant and a lot of our guys at all of our positions. Now, I'll be frank with you. I've sat down with some of our guys and said, hey, you plan on being around here? Yes, and then 2 days later, they're off somewhere else. But that's the nature of it. But, no, it's I've had that with these conversations with our guys, and we talk about it. I think it's important for them to understand that, you know, I'm just throwing out a rough number. It looks like half the guys that go in the portal aren't finding homes. You know, they're on scholarship. And we've taken guys that were at scholarships at SEC schools that have come here and walked on and didn't make it. We've taken guys that are scholarships at FCS that have come here as walk-ons and haven't been able to make it. So it's a crazy world out there, but we're constantly navigating. But the biggest thing is, you know, keeping the guys here that we want to keep here progressing nicely and continue to manage the roster the right way.
Just a follow-up, just because you mentioned those conversations with Gunnell, you got a feeling on him in terms of whether or not he'll be back? What have those conversations been like?
Yeah, no, they've been good. And, obviously I don't want to ever get into the personal conversations, but Grant's a young man, obviously dealt with an injury and had surgery, that battles, cares. He loves his teammates. He loves being here. I mean, he quite often talks about how much he loves Memphis and the people here, which is kudos to everybody listening. So He plans on being here competing and fighting, and he wants to battle for that starting job, and I'm all for it. I love competition.
So your expectation then as of today is that you will be going into, and this is just an expectation, we're not holding you to this, but in your expectation that you're going to be going into the beginning of next season with a quarterback room that includes Seth Hennigan, Grant Gunnell, and Tevin Carter.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Wow.
What a room that will be.
Ooh. You're going to have to, are you going to do a platoon? You're going to have like a platoon system, you know, split snaps up?
You know, we've done the platoon system for the last 2 years, unfortunately, running back. I'm getting tired of that one, so we'll
see. He's getting tired of platoon system. Hey, what was important in your hire of Tim Kramsey, coach, your offensive coordinator? What were you looking for? What was key to you in terms of making that hire?
Yeah, so I interviewed 9 offensive coordinators face-to-face and candidates, and I think that was important for me to get a feel. And it's always about the right fit. There's guys that literally have been offense coordinators in the NFL that have reached out to me about interest in coming here. Friends of mine that, you know, have nice long resumes and all that stuff. But Coach Kramsey was a guy that I thought did exactly what we want to do. He has a firm understanding of the way I want the game called. I want to have to take advantage of, you know, somebody that can be a play caller on Saturdays and do good things. We're going to still run pretty much our same offense, but we got to get better at it. You know, there's no doubt that we got to execute better on the football. And I think that's really, you know, the system wasn't broke this past season. It just, you know, fumbles in games, turnovers here or there, set, you know, the quarterbacks are going to continue to grow. Got to get better at every single position, and that's a good thing. But I think Coach Kramsey understands the philosophy on offense and how we want to be balanced and be able to call a great game. He's had a lot of success, you know, 2 number one scoring offenses in the country. I think 7 top 25 scoring offenses during his career. So expecting big things out of him. Excited to get him here.
We're talking to Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis football coach here on the show. I know you didn't hire Matt Barnes because he was the interim at Ohio State. You hired him because you thought he was a good coach and you thought he'd add something to your team. But what do you think it says about your program, your, you know, the Tigers and sort of where they stand, that they are, that you and the program is able to lure a guy like that from a huge brand name program to Memphis?
Yeah, I think, look, like I said, credit to all those that have always come before me, right? I mean, let's give credit to Coach Fuente, Coach Norvell, all those people helped build this program, and to the people of the city that show up and support. People understand that Memphis is a national brand. And, you know, our football program has high expectations and high standards. And so, you know, Coach Barnes had opportunities, just like a lot of our coaches. I mean, we've had assistant coaches that, knock on wood, have all decided to stay, you know, and the coordinators, offense and defense coordinators, that have turned down, quote-unquote, bigger offers, you know, more money, opportunities maybe at a P5 job because they understand what Memphis is all about, and Coach Barnes saw the same. I mean, he is so excited for this opportunity. I think he's going to be a perfect fit for us here.
That run game, Coach, how excited are you about getting that thing back to the level that you wanted at?
Man, I'd like to be able to get back to sleep at night, you know, and until that run game gets going in the right direction. You know, I think, look, at you know, I go back, and as you guys well know, I take a lot of pride in that. I think running the football allows you to do so many other things. It helps out the quarterback. It helps out the defense. And, you know, you go for through the first 3 games of the year, and I think we're like 3rd in the country in rushing.
You were doing
And then, you know, some injuries have occurred here and there. We just weren't able to keep it on track. And so that's ultimately on me. I've got to find a way to continue to make sure that run game goes. It's I'm constantly beating myself up saying, okay, how can I be better? What can we do? What can I do to put our players in a better position? And look, it's the nice thing is I got full offseason. We got spring. We'll have some new guys in that room at the running back position. The O-line's got to be better. But, again, when it's all said and done, ultimately, I hang my hat on that, and I'll find a way to make sure that we get this thing done. But we got the right type of young men, and it's my responsibility. Yep.
I know where
you are, but I think it would be – I think it's important for our audience and our listeners and Memphis fans to hear it from you. What is Ryan Silverfield's perspective of what the standard annually at Memphis should be?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the absolute minimum expectation is for us to go to bowl games. And I'll say that. I mean, that should be our minimum expectations. And then we need to be able to put ourselves in the opportunity to try to compete for championships.
Every year.
I don't say that. Yeah, every year. I don't say, hey, look, we're going to try to win eight games, 10 games, whatever that looks like. We went 8-6 one year, my third year here, you know, with Coach Norvell.
Yep.
And we went 8-6, and everybody said he had a terrible year, and he gets my guy gets a contract extension. But we went to the conference championship, you know. We started off 4-4 that year. You know, and so I think it all depends on that fine balance of how you look at it. Look, we got to continue to improve. I get that. I was not pleased with our record, a lot of things that occurred last season. But I truly believe in my heart of hearts we're heading the right direction, and we're going to continue to get better. But I always look, hey, when the season's done, what can I get better with? And everybody understands that, and our young men are down there working. So well, we got great expectations for ourselves, and but we are an ever-changing day, you know. You look at some of these teams like Central Florida, Cincinnati, and Houston, they're, you know, making that immediate move to the Big 12. And, you know, maybe sometimes they may have a little bit more lore to these transfers that are going to become immediate starters. And that's the nature of it. But I'm not going to let this be an uphill battle. We're going to keep swinging and find ourselves with the right type of roster, go out there and compete day in, day out.
Absolutely. And then last thing, man, I saw a grad, and I'm sure you've seen it too, of the Washington, then they were the Redskins in 2013. It was a coaching staff that included Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. What other than the one that you're the Rock? No, the Rock one was a joke. The other ones were real. But other than the one that you have currently assembled, or how about this? We'll keep it to NFL. What was the most star-studded coaching staff you'd been a part of?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. I go back to one of those years with the Vikings, and you think about some of those people that were on it. You know, Eric Bieniemy was our running back coach. He's going to have the opportunity to interview for head coaching jobs, right? Leslie Frazier, defensive coordinator now with the Bills, got the head job with the Vikings, interviewing for head job with the Bears. You know, Jason, how cool would that be?
I don't think Jason's a proponent of it, though, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys like Clint Kubiak, who was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings this past year. I mean, I go through the list, and I can probably look at all these guys where they've all been. And, you know, it's pretty fortunate. I was so fortunate in those years in the NFL to be around a lot of great coaches. And as they continue to spread their wings, it's good to see everybody have success.
And then you were, you know, you were doing the laundry. I mean, that is a hell of a – that's a hell of an NFL staff. You're exactly right.
That's right. No doubt about it. But, I mean, it's – you kind of look at things, and it's so interesting how it all occurs. But man, I'm glad to see that you guys know how this profession is. It's funny. There's guys. I got stories for another day on the radio, or maybe off the radio, about guys that on these staffs that have found themselves in certain places for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, Coach, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank you for this, Coach.
Thanks for the visit, man. We look forward to doing it again. Thank you.
Hey, you guys are the best. Always appreciate you guys having me on. Everybody have a great weekend, and go Tigers.
Yes, sir. He is University of Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield. That's a pretty good – Bieniemy, Frazier. That's a pretty –
I mean, Bieniemy only has, like, one interview lined up with, like, Denver.
I think Matt Nagy heard him. I really do. I think people are like, man, Matt Nagy was the stud. I know you're going to say he wasn't calling plays, but
there's other black candidates that are actually getting interviews, but for whatever reason, like Bieniemy's,
I'm starting to feel about
his
him.
Window feels like it's closing.
Yes, unfortunately,
which is just weird.
Yeah,
I don't. Have you seen it? It looks like Andy Reid's going out of his way to, you know, Bieniemy for him to. He's got the play calling sheet and everything. That one's strange to me.
Yeah,
strange to me.
Really interesting and good news from Ryan Silverfield. That he expects
that was interesting.
Quarterback room to be made up of Grant Gunnell, Seth Hennigan, and Tevin. Well, of course, Tevin's already enrolled, but I mean, the Grant Gunnell and Seth Hennigan, it almost made it sound like a competition.
I think that was the news, is that he's expecting to go back in as a quarterback competition. So, and basically sort of with framed in, well, Grant Gunnell got injured last season. And so back up for grabs, the question you would ask is...
Because that's how you keep him.
Because that's... I mean, I figured you're going to flip out of your chair over there. The question you would ask is, has Seth Hennigan earned it based on the season he had as a freshman, unlike anything we've seen before in terms of true freshman playing quarterback for Memphis? We've never seen this.
Yes.
He goes out there with, what, you got the numbers, 25 touchdowns.
Yep. The numbers are actually tattooed on the inside of my forearm, 3,325.
I think we were working on the assumption that Seth had earned it at that point, even with the injury situation. I mean, Brady got it because Bledsoe got hurt, right? It's a football deal sometimes where your guy comes in, he's so good, he becomes the guy.
Yep.
Sounds like he's still good. He's going into it as if the guy will be named after a quarterback competition.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.